from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a former offensive lineman, how much pride did you have watching that group control the line of scrimmage?
Are you kidding me? Run the ball.
That's Brent Key. Head coach of Georgia Tech, run the ball.
Run the ball. They had one of the best rushing offenses in the country last year, and I think they're going to be right there again this year, man.
Well, the other thing about this is that whole conversation we just had, while I think we were making valid points or observations, this is why I will always love college football. What if Georgia Tech's like a top 18 team this year?
Yeah, what if they go 9-3 this year? What if they're a dark horse team in the ACC?
Yeah, like they're battling to the end and they have this great seat. Haynes King, yeah. And that, you know, the defense played relatively well. Like, that's the other part of this. What if Florida State's not awful? They're just not as good and Georgia Tech is better.
Maybe.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And they lose a heartbreaking game, could have been 9-3. And that's where we lose context, and you said it, and I'm not high-stepping Dion here, but this is why I laugh at the notion of, like, an expanded playoff will kill the pageantry and the diehard passion of what college is. No, it won't. No, it won't. No. It's a ridiculous statement because so many sections of our country that love that sport, every game will just always matter. And even if you say, well, take Oregon. If Oregon loses to Ohio State, and that's their first loss of the year, it's going to matter. Because, one, you'll talk about what you saw in the game. Did Ohio State beat the living hell out of you?
Or yeah, how did you lose?
Did you mismanage something? Like, there's a takeaway.
He's going to go for it on fourth down again and not get it, and that'll be a talking point.
Right. And you can say, well, they're not out of the playoff, and nobody would argue that. But it would be, well, what seed are you going to be? What are you looking at right now? And now you go forward, and even if your team's not out of the playoff race, and Florida State isn't technically.
No, you win the ACC, you're automatically in the playoff.
Yes, and if you don't win your conference title, can you get in with two losses? And what seed are you? So, like, I've just always laughed at this notion that some expanded playoff eliminates what these seasons have meant in years past. I've been more the other. I hate that if a team loses week one or zero or whatever the hell it's called, that their season's basically over. It's a ridiculous standard. It's football. We all know how hard football is. The Chiefs lost how many games last year?
Including their opener to the Detroit Lions.
The Raiders beat them at home. So, football is football, as a great scholar would once say. And so, I love it. I love that they lost, and I love that we're already here acting like their season's over, even though we know it isn't.
Well, to that point, it is a good reminder over the next 2 weeks because we're on the brink of the NFL season kicking off and we're on the brink of college football fully kicking off this week and continues on Thursday.
Oh, this week.
I can't wait. And Josh Pate, our good friend who will join us every Wednesday during the season, has a great line early in the year saying, smart people make observations out of week one, dumb people make conclusions out of week
one.
And that's what you don't want to do. You see a team, we're so excited and hyped up and we have these thoughts about how teams are going to be. You get to see them for the first time, and if they don't live up to a certain expectation, it's a, you write it down in Sharpie, Florida State's going to be garbage all year. Well, maybe they're a 9-3 team. Maybe Georgia Tech's just a bad matchup for them. Maybe Georgia Tech's really good. We have no clue how that's going to play out. The funny part for me ultimately was, and this is coming from watching our conference crumble a year ago and everybody leave outside of the two programs who were left, Florida State spent the entire offseason trying to argue that they were better than, like, we're too good for the ACC. We went 13-0 last year. We got left out of the college football playoff because the ACC's terrible. We need to move. We need a better home. We can no longer. They're suing their own conference to get out of it. And then they lost to Georgia Tech in week one. And there was a sweet bit of irony there that I rather enjoyed. And also, the final thought on this whole, like, we don't need to get into the debate again. That was in last December. It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to them, though, is just move on. Like the booing of Herb Street stuff and making him a villain and the signs that were up. Every time he talked, they booed him. Like, they are so stuck on last year. My program also was left out of a national championship game. Wrongfully so. In 2001. Oregon should have been in the national title game. Not an appearance in the playoff. They should have played in a national title game. Nebraska making it over Oregon is one of the worst decisions in the history of the sport. They got dog walked by Colorado the week before, and we all knew that they were going to get killed by Miami.
And now, Oregon trounced Colorado.
And Oregon would have also gotten trounced by Miami, for the record, but they deserve to be in that game.
Yes.
And we didn't spend the next year boycotting ESPN and booing everybody on game day and whatever. We weren't burning computers in the parking lots of Eugene because the computers screwed us. This happens, man. It was not an easy decision. Get over it. You would have been killed in the playoff. It allowed you to play the victim card for an offseason, but it's time to move on. You got embarrassed in your first game of the year. You better focus on that and not hatred toward Kirk Herbstreit, because it could be a long year for you.
I didn't get to watch game day, obviously. I saw that McAfee threw up twice during a show.
God. He pounded about 15 Guinnesses live on the air Friday.
Well, I went, so I caught up on all this stuff, and I had heard that he basically said that they had taken 100 milligram.
He talked about the edible they took on the plane over, and he pounded for their 2-hour show.
You drank.
In a pub in Dublin. He
looked like he did.
Pounded Guinnesses the entire
show. Yeah, he looked absolutely blackout drunk. I didn't watch the game day festivities. Did you?
I did watch it, yeah.
Okay.
We were on the our train left at like 6:40, so I think I turned it on at like 7:30 and watched the last hour and a half of it.
Boy, teams that need a turnaround spark, man, just play the Giants.
Hey.
Shut up.
My team sucks. Right? They won the game I went to. That's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I quickly say that I guess maybe I feel a little bit of what Florida State fans are experiencing because of just that. You said a 9-3 expectation at the end of the season looks okay, right? But for their fans, they were arguing all offseason, hey, yeah. No, we are better than this conference. I'm assuming that means we think we should be competing in the college football playoff for a national title. 9-3 to them is devastating.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And I'm not saying that they're all, like, sane on these message boards. They're always crazy. And I get it. I have sounded pretty crazy trying to defend the Ducks at times. But this is they thought that they had the guy coming in. And then this is a pretty stark difference, like, for what? Not just, like, the offseason, but literally the past, like, 5 months. It's not just training camp for this team. You've been hearing about them for months touting DJ.
It's not just DJ to me, though. I think it's more the defensive line. I mean, that the amount of people that were saying that defensive front was going to be pretty loaded and a vaunted front, like, that didn't look like that. They got severely outrushed. Georgia Tech ran all over them. They got pushed around in that game. So I just think it's a false, I don't know, evaluation of what their talent was. And 9-3 certainly would be devastating to their fan base. Yeah, I still think 9-3 after losing the talent they lost, that'd still be a pretty good year. And the ACC is still going to be intact next year.
ACC's still wide open at this point. Like Clemson, yeah. I'm not a firm believer in. Are we trusting fully in Mario? Like,
not yet.
The ACC is wide open this year.
It won't be great for them. Their fans will freak out. But like for Norvell to be what he was at Florida State, to go undefeated and then have to reset, but be 9-3 in a reset, that's still a relatively good year. What did you make of Saban quickly on game day? Did you like the experience?
I love Saban. He's great. I know he had comments that pissed some people off talking about Florida State and the playoff decision, and that ended up being a whole thing that went viral, and everybody got upset online about that. I think he's going to be an awesome analyst for the upcoming year. It's a great hire for them, and I give it 2 thumbs up. I'm also somebody who likes McAfee. I like the entertainment and
the wrestling aspect.
The energy that he brings is great. The last note I'll bring up on this, because I do want to make sure we pointed out, I do think there's an interesting conversation at a larger scale. We'll see how the rest of the year goes for Florida State. They are a team, and this is a debate we constantly have, of how do you build your roster in modern college football? Do you do it through high school recruiting portal or a combination of both? he hit the Mike Norvell, that is. He hit the portal jackpot last year, right? I mean, just finding white Keon Coleman, yeah. Johnny Wilson, Trey Benson. Like, they filled out a roster largely with key players through the portal, and it hit, and they went 13-0. And if Jordan Travis doesn't get hurt, they would have had a legit shot maybe to go on a run in the playoff. It's not easy to do it every year. Their last three high school recruiting classes that have built into this, so juniors on this team, are 13th, 20th, and 19th in the country. Like, that's just, you cannot compete at the highest level having recruiting classes that are 19 and 20. You can find diamonds in the rough, but that's not usually the way it works. It's not easy to build it through the portal every year because you're going to have years where guys just don't pop. And that might be the case this year for Florida State, and they got to figure out a way to get those recruiting classes into the top 10 in the high school ranks.
Does Mike Norvell follow Big Dave Uyunglele on Twitter? Because he probably didn't like a lot of the tweets he was sending.
We're already calling out the coach.
A lot of the coaching staff fault that they lost that game.
Of course it is. Course it's their fault.
Well, didn't the coach say the offense needed to be more explosive? I mean, then who's correct here?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.